the iTunes music store. Why do we offer it here? Well, to let you know that it's happening and that it's good. And if you just dropped in and discovered it for the first time, maybe it's something you want to make sure that you catch every week on your iPhone or some other device too. We think it's that good in terms of giving you information about science and current events. So our phone number here in the station is 313-845-9676 and option 1. So we're going to be starting Metaphysically Speaking in just a moment here on WHFR. And I'd like to know from Tammy about one of our special pledge incentives. So we're doing a drawing, Tammy. You know what we're maybe giving away to one person that pledges at $30 or above?
Village Ford is offering a weekend incentive. If you're 21 years old or older and you're also an insured driver, for a $30 more pledge, you'd be entered into a drawing where you can win a weekend driving a Ford Focus electric car from the Dearborn Village Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, electric. That's right. No gas,
something
no oil.
Different.
It's the same size as a Ford Focus, a four-door, small sedan. And maybe the wave of the future in terms of finding a more economical way to transport ourselves. John, would you be brave enough to try an electric car if you won?
Most definitely.
Whoops, I don't have your phone on. Most definitely, he said.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, I think it'd be fun.
You could, be great.
Yeah. Now, of course, the Ford Focus Electric has a range of only about 75 miles on a charge, but then you charge it up at your home overnight, and I think the lease car will come with its own charging cord. You can use 110 or 220 if you had it, I think, but most people don't have that connected in the garage. But that's far enough to go up to, I think, about 30 miles each way to work or to shop or whatever each day. And for most people, that's all they need during the week, certainly. So I think electric cars, especially the Ford Focus Electric, which has got great test reviews, is a great second car for many families. And they can keep their gas guzzler just for weekends, you know, when they've got to go a little bit farther or when they take a trip up north or something. So this is really great, and we thank our friends at Village Ford for making this happen. Well, we're going to start. It's WHFR.FM, the station making waves, WHFR Dearborn, and now beginning Metaphysically Speaking on Tuesday Forum.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Mary Ann Demo, and she is the publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine for Wayne County. Well, hello, Mary Ann. How are you? And thanks for being on the show.
Great. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, great. First of all, I want to get this out of the way. You became our newest media partner for the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair that was held last month, and you really helped to promote this event, and I want to thank you very much for all your help in doing so. That was very kind of you and very generous. Thank you very much.
You're absolutely welcome. We enjoyed being out here.
Yes, well, that was great. I mean, you were out here, and you had your photographer with you, some of your staff, and did you have a good time?
We did. You know, at first I was a little worried we might be making a meeting out of it, you know, because when you're all standing there together, that's not a good thing to do. But it worked out really well because some of the booths that I might have seen, you know, somebody else from my staff saw different ones, and we all came away and sort of did a debrief, and we're talking about all the different booths that were there and the different businesses that were represented. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. I'm glad you had a good time. Now, how long have you been the publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine?
Well, it's so interesting that you ask that on this very day, because we are celebrating our fourth anniversary with the April issue.
Great.
So it's kind of amazing, actually. But just a little over 4 years that we've actually been working on this whole new adventure, but 4 year anniversary for the magazine.
Mm-hmm. And how did you start the magazine?
Well, I made the mistake of reading one
okay,
time.
Yeah, that was your first mistake.
That was
right?
My first mistake. I've always worked for other people my whole life, and my most recent corporate job, I was working as director of marketing for Rose Pest Solutions. And as much as I loved what I was doing, it just wasn't my dream, you know. And 7 years into it, you just start thinking about, is there a dream that I have, and what is it? And maybe it's time that I need to start chasing after that. And so I made the decision. It probably wasn't the best timing. You know, I did this in the 2008, just prior to the economic, you know, upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, though, I had already made all my plans by this time. So it got to the fall and things were really bad, but I had to decide, do I go forward with it or not? And I decided to go ahead. And kind of never looked back. You know, I never have been my own boss, so it was a big adjustment. I found out I'm maybe not as easy to work for as what I thought.
Yeah, you think you're a nice person, but, you know, when push comes to shove, you do have to put a magazine out. You don't want to get too weird or bossy, but I'm sure there are times when you have to say, hey, this has to be done, and we've got to get this magazine out on time, and
yeah,
you have to kind of push people along, right?
Well, and it, you know, the toughest one to push along is yourself when it mm-hmm. really gets down to it, because you don't buy your own lame excuses. You know, it's like, you know that, okay, look, you didn't do this month, and so that it's not there, you know, and you have to own that. And so I didn't really anticipate kind of coming to terms with myself through this project, you know, but I had definitely learned a lot more about what things I'm really good at. And I think when you own your own business, you have to kind of wear all these hats. But right away, I started realizing there's things that I am much better at than others.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you can possibly afford to hire other people to do those other things,
right,
it's like lifting a huge burden off your shoulders. You know, like bookkeeping is one of the things. And I did it best as I could, but it would take me so much longer to do things in QuickBooks than other people. And I thought, you know, I've got to get somebody else on board with this. And when I was finally able to make that change about a year ago, it was just like somebody took 100 pounds mm-hmm. off my shoulders.
Right.
And I could know that my invoices went out. I knew the billing happened, and I didn't have to wonder what was in the bank account, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. mystery question that nobody wants to think
right.
about.
Right, or, yeah, look at. But that's good. I mean, that does help you, because that lifts you up so that, you know, that frees you up to do other things that you are good at. So you can do those things, concentrate on those things, and in essence, that makes the magazine better, correct?
Yeah, I think so. And you really need somebody who can kind of look at the big picture in order to look at the areas that you want to grow and look at what things you want to do in the future. And if you're always buried, you know, trying to do in the trenches type of things, you can't do those bigger picture things, and you can't do
right.
the things that you need to be doing in order to help you succeed. So the other thing that I've learned too is that you have to look for other people that don't have your same skill set. You know, just because I enjoy doing one thing doesn't mean that everybody that works with me needs to enjoy that same thing. Maybe that nitpicky person that drove you crazy is just the one that you want to be having work on your bookkeeping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They might not be your salesperson, but they might be awesome as a bookkeeper. And so you have to look for complementary skills.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can get a good team of people that you can really rely on, and they're doing the things they like to do and they really enjoy it, and you're doing the things you like to do, I mean, that's awesome.
Right. That's a win-win situation
yeah.
right there.
And mm-hmm. when you wake up in the morning and you're excited about what you want to do, that makes the difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you love what you do?
I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up at odd times thinking, I should put in an article about this. Or when I'm out anyplace, I just can't really relax. I have to always be thinking about, now this business is struggling. How could I help them? I know. If I introduce this gal that knows how to do hooping, you know, exercising with hula hoops, mm-hmm. to this yoga studio that I know, and maybe the two of them can put an event together, and that means that this mom with the little girl can be able to work independently and do the thing that she loves to do, which is hooping. And this yoga studio that had an open afternoon they're going to be able to fill that time. You know, it's like if I can bring people together that way, it's so exciting, you mm-hmm. know, and to see the results of what you can do for people. It's really fun.
Right. Well, again, I think it's rare for a person to actually say they love what they do. I mean, a lot of people just do. Like you were saying, you know, I mean, you were working in the corporate world for many years, and it's like you do what you have to do to pay the rent or the yep. mortgage or put gas in the car or whatever it might be. But when you can actually find something that you love, that has to make your attitude so much better, just for life in general.
Yeah, it really does. And I think, you know, I mean, Natural Awakenings is all about healthy living and healthy planet. And bottom line, if you're not, you spend too much time at work to not love what you're doing. I mean, it is a factor of your health. And you see people that are, you know, they're at some type of business where they just have to hang on a couple more years so that they'll be getting their pension and that kind of thing. And you can just watch it weigh down on them, you
right.
know, and you know that that's got to affect their health in some way. I mean, I have had jobs over the course of my life where, you know, occasionally it gets to that point where you're just laying in bed and you're like, what will make me get out of bed?
Mm-hmm.
I just
right.
don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, right.
My heart's not in it. But, you know, it's almost the other extreme. When your heart is in something, you just almost can't stop yourself.
Right. You get up in the morning, you feel just refreshed, and you feel a lot different because you're the one that's in charge of your life. Do you feel like that?
Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is that you can see all these potentials to reach out to other people. And I know a lot more people that own their own businesses. And I think they were out there before, but I was just not as aware of them, you know, because mm-hmm. I was not doing that myself. And now when I meet with somebody and I'm looking at them face to face, and I know that they might only have $500 for the whole year that they can afford to do something marketing or advertising. And I have to look them in the eye and let them know that I know this is a good fit and I know it's going to help them. And if it's, and I have a terrible poker face, if it wouldn't work, I am really bad at telling them that it would, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just like, if the Smokers Emporium came to me and said, we want to give you a full page ad, I would have to tell them no, because it's just like, that's not what the magazine's about.
Right.
We're not going to be able to help you. And that's why you don't see pharmaceutical ads. That's why you don't see many types of ads in there that, you know, it's like, I have to believe in it or I can't put it in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. You just don't want to take anybody's money just for the sake of money.
And let me tell you, it is very tempting sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is to sell out, but you got to be strong, right?
Yeah,
especially when they're waving that check right in front of your face or whatever. It's like,
yeah, I can't really say I've had them do that, but,
really?
You know, I'm
well,
just like, oh. I often wondered, okay, if the big Park Davis or, you know, one of the big companies mm-hmm. called me, what would I say, you know? And it's like, I can't say they really called, but in my mind, I'm going to tell them
yeah.
no.
Sounds good now, right? But no, I'm sure that you would adhere to your ideals and your principles because, like you say, that's part of the magazine. That would be false for the magazine to accept something like that, I believe. And I think people would see through that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I think my readers would hold me accountable. What is this in
yeah,
here, you know?
Right.
You must not own it anymore or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right.
That they'd know
be.
Right away.
Mm-hmm. So why Natural Awakenings? Why did you choose this particular venue to get what you want to out to the public?
Well, it's kind of funny. I was on sort of a personal health journey myself, you know, trying to better my own health. And I was out there just doing a simple thing, walking. You know, I thought, okay, getting out and walking, that's a great thing. And I was really committed to it. I was enjoying it. And then all of a sudden, I had issues with my knees started swelling up. And it was debilitating. I mean, to the point where I would get out halfway a couple miles out, I couldn't get back home. You know, it was like
that's
scary.
Not good.
I have to sit down. I'd have to wait. It was horrible. And so I went to the one time it got really bad, I ended up going to urgent care. And they kind of, you know, did all the checking and everything. And they said at the end of all this checking, they said, oh, you got arthritis. I'm like, I'm 40. What do you mean I got arthritis, you know? And the more I checked into it, you know, my own doctor kind of confirmed. They're like, well, you know, it's kind of wear and tear on your knees and that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. And she gave me a steroid shot. And the steroid shot helped. And my knees felt great, but I didn't feel great about getting a steroid shot. And the more that I looked into it and the more I found out some of the side effects and the things that can happen, it's like, okay, well, this can't be my solution for the rest of my life is to randomly get steroid shots, you know? So I started looking at some of the factors that would affect that and looking at inflammation and some of the other things like that and realized, wow, there's all these other ideas out there. And right around the same time when I was at the doctor, I found found out that my cholesterol was a little high, borderline to where they thought, you know, maybe I should take something, and I really didn't want to take something either. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of set me off on this journey of learning more about my own health. And I always have been kind of a skeptical person, and so if somebody gives me one particular opinion, I want to understand the why. And most of the doctors that I talked with, they didn't really take the time to talk with me about it. You know, they just would kind of wave you off, like, well, go look it up on the internet or whatever. And I wanted to be a more educated consumer, and I wanted to be the person that's in charge of my own health. And I did start picking up Natural Awakenings. At that time, it was the one for Macomb in Oakland County that Jerry Neal publishes. And I read it every month, and I always would come up with some new cool thing out of it. And at that time, it was still a couple years before I left where I was working. And I contacted them, and I thought, maybe I could write articles or something, you know, because I had been doing all this research. And then I found out that it's a franchise. And that was kind of like, oh, somebody planted a seed. But it was sort of irrelevant for me because I wasn't independently wealthy. So I thought, well, I don't have money for a franchise. So I kind of put it out of my mind. But then later, you know, I decided, hey, this might be something that I want to do. And I didn't realize, but the Wayne County franchise was still available. And I've always been into the city of Detroit and wanting to do things to help bring it back. So I thought, hey, this is where I might be able to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea was born, and that's when you started it. Now, how did you get the actual franchise for Wayne County?
Well, I just invested my whole life savings.
Nothing major, right?
You know. Put every penny that I own will earn for the next 100 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. That makes you break out in a cold sweat.
Yeah,
right?
You could say I don't have a plan B.
Yeah, right. This is it, right? It better work. So there again, it's called incentive, right?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Got that incentive.
Right, right. So, I mean, once you did that, though, did you actually do some writing for some of these other magazines, or did you just go strictly to you wanted to get your own edition and go from there?
I couldn't take baby steps. I was just all in. Mm-hmm. And that's immediately when I learned that marketing, which was kind of my background, was very different from sales, actually. Mm-hmm. And those poor few people that I first met with, if I could go back and tell them, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. If you could change some of the things you did. But there again, it's a learning experience.
Yeah, I can't even believe they bought from me, you know, based on my sales approach back then.
Yeah. Well, it must have worked, though, if they bought from you.
Sitting down and saying, I'm not going to leave till you buy. I mean, it was effective. You never know.
Yeah, if they had to call the police, right, that was not good. But now, did you have a staff to begin with, or was it just you and that's
it?
It
was just me, because you can't, you know, when you first get started, you can't afford anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to do it all, you know, and you've got to know. So it's like, all right, if I was going to have any ads, I needed to make a sale. Mm-hmm. So I just kept going till I made one, you know, and then another one. And what happened with me, too, I think I went with the sales approach of I want to build a relationship with somebody, which is a huge big difference, because then I really got to know their business so that instead of just selling them an ad, I could really partner with them. And if I knew and understood what they're doing, then I can represent them a lot better. And there was a lot of businesses that I learned a lot about based on that, you know, and I learned different things that worked for different businesses. And if something was working well for one, I could take it and tell another different business, hey, here's an idea that is working for so-and-so. We can kind of remix it and maybe see if that might be something effective for you. And once you get to where you've given people these ideas and it helps them grow their business, you have people that listen when you talk, you know, and when you can go in and give them these ideas, they don't have a marketing staff. They don't have those opportunities. And so I could tell people, look, before I was meeting here with you, I was on the other side of the table. I was the one buying the marketing, the media, whatever things needed to be bought. And I know what things I looked for. So let me help you out by showing you. You know, you got to look for these return on investments. I mean, how many new clients do you have to get before this is worth it? And you could just see the wheels turning, like they're starting to understand, you know, but most people don't take the time to go through that kind of information with them. And so I could tell them, look, how many responses is going to be what you need to get in order to make this pay? And then we could decide together, did it work?
Mm-hmm. We're going to go back to part two and part three of the Metaphysically Speaking show on the Tuesday forum here at WHFR.FM, the station making waves. In just a few moments, we need to let you know that this is our Radiothon 2013 week, only 1 week every year that we take your pledge of support. And we need it. We need it to keep going. 60% of our budget comes from you, our loyal listeners. None comes from Henry Ford Community College directly, although we do get that 40% from user fees. Every student here at the college, current student, pays a couple of bucks for student activity fees, student service fees, and we get a small portion of the total pie help us out, but we can't survive on that alone. We have equipment costs, we have transmitting costs, we have copyright royalty payments to make, and that comes to about $30,000, $35,000 a year. So we need your help. Every pledge of support is totally used just by WHFR and only to pay our bills. There's no money lost or wasted on overhead at all. 313-845-9676, option one right now, or you can go to our website, whfr.fm, and pledge anytime if you're listening to the Tuesday Forum as a podcast. We'll take that pledge any week of the year, in fact. Remember that. In the studio with me, my name is Jay Koronek, station advisor. We have both Tammy and John, and John is going to talk about tax incentives, even though for this year, tax day is passed. But what about next year? Need an extra donation? John, tell us the story.
Thank you, Jay. For year 2013, we have a tax rebate for WHFR donation on your itemized return. If you're employed and you file a federal tax return, did you know that you could receive some of your contribution to WHFR back? If you're at the 30% tax bracket for federal taxes and you use Form 1040, then about 30% is deductible. Sorry, but the state of Michigan is no longer giving such an incentive, which is why we need your help even more.
Exactly. And that phone number again, John, is? I think the 800 number is there, too, if somebody's listening to the podcast outside the our area code here in Detroit.
Right. The phone number is 313-845-9676 or 1-800-585-HFCC or 4322. Extension 9676.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's you don't want to pay taxes, but as long as there's all those nice deductions, if you happen to qualify for them, and if you're doing a good deed like helping a nonprofit organization, you can actually get the actual dollar value reduced, in effect, because they're going to give you money back on next year's taxes if you make that contribution. So you have to be in the right tax bracket, and yes, you have to use the long form, as they call it, but there is some money that comes back. Now, we have special pledge incentives at each level for $30, a WHFR logo baseball cap, brand new model in dark navy, $52, USB flash drive, really quality thing. It's blue rubberized housing with our logo on it, and a nice click-in and click-out USB connector, so very rugged, and a little carabinier, I think they call it, that allows it to hook onto your belt clip or your purse or your notebook or something very easily, so you don't lose it. Carry it with you always. That's at $52 level, and on and on. So, Tammy, give me one good reason why people should pledge now.
Because it not only helps the station, it also helps all of those bands that are local that need to be heard so they can get their songs out there, and hopefully they'll become really popular. But it also helps out, because we do public service announcements, it helps out a lot of the different charities that are in need, and it's just something really nice. It's like double the karma when you donate.
Thank you very much for saying that, because that's all true. It's all true. We have a format unlike any other station in Michigan, maybe even in the world, and we're here for the local music artists. We're here for local news and information on our three talk shows each week, and, you know, we're there for these great shows like Metaphysically Speaking, which we've got to return to now for part two, the interview with Mary Ann Demo from the publication Natural Awakenings.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Mary Ann Demo. She is the publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine for Wayne County. And we were talking earlier about starting the magazine. Now, when you started this magazine, did you have any staff at all? I mean, anybody helping you out, writing or anything like that? Or was everything done by you, layout and everything else?
Well, no. Actually, I do work with independent contractors, and so I do have people that help me, but you know, I wouldn't call it necessarily a staff. I think of it more like a team.
Mm-hmm.
And in a team, you kind of work a little bit differently because each person, you're not all working in an office together. Everybody's kind of working virtually. And so you learn quickly who you can trust and who you can count on to get things done. I mean, deadlines are deadlines. And we work together with, you know, many of the magazines go to the printer at the same time. And so if you don't make that deadline, you're in big trouble. You know, mm-hmm. you've got everything working around that deadline. And so you can't just one night blow it off and say, you know, I've been working really hard. I think I'm just going to kick back tonight. No, you know, you got to know when you're going to do that because you can't do it at deadline time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be able to manage yourself and know, you know, like if there's some of your clients that you tell them the deadline is the 15th, they will do it on the 15th, no problem. There's always one or two that just can't quite make that deadline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you decide, you know, how much leeway can you give people? And is it fair to let somebody else turn it in whenever they feel like it when other people make the deadline?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's all sorts of nuances that just evolve that you wouldn't anticipate at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I would imagine you probably stay with the people that are dependable, that do have the things in on time. I mean, even though somebody might be a great contributor, if they're constantly late, that can be rather nerve-wracking for you, correct?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's just, it's a matter of respect, too. You know, it's kind of like some friend of yours that's always late every time you get together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to deal with that. You know, after a while, it's like, all right, either you're going to, you like them so well that you work around it and you tell them a half hour earlier than you really
right.
want them to
and
be
sometimes
there.
That doesn't work either. But yes, I know what you mean, but go ahead.
So it's like, all right, if they're really good enough, you might deal with all that. But for the most part, I feel like your team kind of evolves, you know, and just mm-hmm. like a sports team, you're going to have different people that excel at different things. And so, you know, some of the skills from being a mom come into play, too. Like when your kids are little and you have a babysitter and you have a backup babysitter and you have a backup of the backup babysitter, that's the kind of thing that you do with all of the services that you're dealing with. You know, somebody, you know, their parent passes away right in the middle of the deadline. You've got to have, you know, somebody off the bench to be able to cover for it.
Right.
And I've been very fortunate that I can, you know, work with people that are professionals and they'll let me know as soon as they know something's wrong, and that even if, you know, something they think is going to go wrong, and they make sure that the, you know, the show will still go on, the magazine will still get to print.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge. And when you find people that you can count on like that, that's really what helps make everything work.
Right. Well, like you said, though, sometimes you have to do different things in order to get it published, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you do have to look for backup or whatever the case may be, because unfortunately life happens and things do happen. And again, you have to take that into account, correct?
Yep. And you just never know. You know, sometimes people, you've promised them something, oh, you know, I'm going to make sure to get this article in for you at this particular month. And, you know, something changes and all of a sudden you can't fit that article in there. Or maybe there's another article that somebody else wrote that isn't as timely. And so you've got to be able to go to that other person and say, you know, is there any way we could bump you up a month, you know, and we're going to put this other one in because it's kind of time sensitive. Would that be okay? Now, if you have good relationships with your advertisers and your writers, they're going to be okay. They're going to understand that these things happen. And they know that if something happens for them like that, that you're going to go to bat for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kinds of relationships are really important. And, you know, if you didn't have all that, I think it would be very difficult to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the mission statement of the magazine, would you say?
I really kind of boil it down to the tagline, which is healthy living, healthy planet. And one of the things that I tell people if I'm in a networking meeting or something and they'll say, well, healthy living, healthy planet, you're just a health nut, you know, and it's like, not really. I mean, one of the things that you think about, and you don't realize this until you're really in pain or something's wrong, is that if you don't have your health, you really, none of the other stuff matters.
Yes, that's right. That is very true.
You know, so you can say, well, you know, I'm just going to keep on running hard and living crazy, but at some point it's going to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you can take a little bit better care of yourself earlier on in your life, I mean, you just get this one body, you know.
Right.
You got to make it last.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you can.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you believe energetically, you know, you got to make this one last a little while.
Right.
So if you can take a little bit better care of it, that's going to help. And I think that, you know, there's so much information out there now with healthy living things for people that this is just kind of a way to bring relevant information that's going to help make your life a little bit better each month. And I think that if, you know, you look on the internet and you look at all these other sources, it can be very overwhelming. And sometimes you have to kind of follow the money trail too, because, you know, if you read an article that is all about the benefits of something, and then you look down to the bottom and see who actually puts this out, oh, look at that. It's the drug company that manufactures this drug,
right.
You know?
Funny how that works out.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of money for advertising out
there. Right. And the way they disguise it now, it really looks like this is a legitimate magazine or just a legitimate story when it's really just a giant ad. So, I mean, sometimes you have to be wary of that. But I also want to get back to the fact that when you were going through your own health problems, you were talking about doctors just kind of blowing you off, so to speak, you know, not really paying attention, or maybe just prescribing arbitrarily certain drugs to, you know, help you. But I think that by virtue of natural awakenings, it gives people our alternatives to pursue so that maybe they don't have to rely on doctors. Because like you said, it might be something you have to change yourself for a better life for the rest of your life. You
right.
just can't always depend on outside help to correct certain situations.
Yeah, and I think that over time we've gotten into an idea that when you go to the doctor, you need to get a pill, and that pill is going to take care of it for you, and that that's the only involvement that you have to have. And that's not true. You know, you've got to be the one in charge of your own health. And you can't, just because one doctor tells you one thing, doesn't mean you should take that as gospel. Doctors are human too. And
right.
there's all sorts of reasons. I mean, if you watch House, you know, at all, I mean, it just makes you learn to question, you know? And I've always been kind of skeptical. So I just, you know, I like to ask questions. I like to understand the why. And it helped me understand more about my health when I knew that there was more things that contributed to what was wrong than just, you know, one particular cause. And one of the things that I like to do for other people is help them know that there's not just one course of treatment. There's many different choices. And, you know, you may end up having a pharmaceutical choice. That might very well be the best one for you, but please investigate the other ones. Because if you found out that acupuncture could help you, wouldn't you want to know that as opposed to taking a medication that has horrible side effects? And I think sometimes when people are in pain, they'll take a choice just to get them out of the pain, you know, and you need to, maybe you need to get out of pain initially, but just try to look a little further, know about other choices, become an educated consumer, and be in charge of your own health. If anything, if people would just pick up that message, I think that would be huge.
Mm-hmm. And I know what you're saying, too. Don't necessarily ignore what a doctor tells you, but have a healthy dose of skepticism, perhaps, you know, like you say, get a second opinion, research it a little bit, because people are human. But if people truly are in need of medical attention, you do suggest they go to a doctor, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yep. I really think.
Don't ignore that.
Yeah. The true answer for health is a good mix of both Western, Eastern, you know, a holistic mix. But I get in a car accident, I want the best of what the West has to offer. You know, I want emergency care right away. But if I've got some kind of chronic situation, don't just keep, you know, putting medication after medication on there. I want to have, you know, okay, if meditation is going to help bring my blood pressure down, wouldn't that be better than taking a blood pressure medication? I mean, some of it just seems kind of like common sense, but,
right. You
know, maybe you just have to give a little bit more thought to it, you know, and be a little bit more open. Maybe it's something different that you're not familiar with. You know, if somebody says, you know, I'm kind of stiff, and someone else recommends, hey, maybe you might want to try a yoga class to just kind of help stretch out a little bit, at least be open to giving it a try.
Right.
You know, it might be helpful. Don't just block it off because you think you don't want to wear, you know, a yoga pants.
Right. Like, well. But also, too, I think it's the fact that it would take people to learn something new. It's a lot easier to pop a pill than it is to, like you say, go to a yoga class or take time out of their day to meditate or whatever the case may be. So I think that's part of it. It just becomes so easy for people to rely on medicine and not really just, I guess, examine all the alternative methods that are out there in order to help themselves.
Right, exactly. And I think, too, that you've got to push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, change is not fun or easy a lot of times, but just try to stay open, you know, and explore, and don't give up that childlike curiosity about things, because, you know, I think whether you believe in God or the universe or whatever brings things to you, they're all there. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of you going out and finding what's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Have you put into practice some of the things that you've learned putting out this magazine over the years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't put them into practice as much as I should, you know, just like everybody else.
Right.
My husband is a great one to remind me when, you know, have you meditated recently?
And that's like, when you say, leave me alone, right?
Yeah, that's when I get the, why do you ask?
Yeah, right. Well, that's probably when you're stressed out around the middle of the month when you're trying to get the magazine out, right? I mean, that's probably a very stressful time, isn't it?
Well, that would theoretically be good to say that it's just because of the middle of the month, but that's really not true either. You know, sometimes I'll get up and I actually, on days when I've been working from home, I will wake up from the moment I wake up. And I'll get right on the computer because there was something I needed to get to somebody. And if I didn't have a meeting or someplace to go, I'll realize, oh my gosh, I'm still in my pajamas and it is noon. And it's like, and I didn't eat anything and I'm getting cranky and wondering why.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, gee, you know.
Right. That's when you step back and say, oh, well, that's what is the problem. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think
I've had too much caffeine and, you know. Nothing to eat, all that adds up, right?
And, you know, with all of the yoga studios in Wayne County now and all of the people that I know that are into yoga, and I could pretty much go and practice any place, you know, mm-hmm. but sometimes the hardest initiative is getting my own self into the class.
Right, right.
Because you always feel better after, you know, but right. It's like getting yourself there is really tough sometimes.
Right. Sometimes it's easier, at least from my perspective, to sit down and just watch TV rather than actually getting up and getting motivated.
Yeah.
That is not an easy thing to do sometimes. Because like you said, I mean, it is learning and committing to new ideas, new things, and that's not always easy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as you're trying to make those changes, I think as you get to know other people that are into those things, I think everybody has certain friends that you do certain things with, you know, like if you want to drown your sorrows, you probably know somebody that you can call that, you know, is going to go have a couple drinks with you and listen to all your sob stories and all that
right.
kind of stuff. And then you also know that if you wanted to go hit an exercise class or something, there's some energetic person that you can call that's going to be like, yeah, where do you want to go? Okay, let's go. And, you know, if you have to kind of surround yourself with the people that you want to be like.
Right, right. Well, there again, too, I mean, you have people that will help you whatever environment you're in. It just depends on who you want to associate with. Mm-hmm. You've got some people that might enable you to stay with your bad habits. And like you said, instead, maybe go to the gym and, you know, find somebody else that enables you to actually keep that commitment to work out or to eat healthy or whatever it might be.
Yeah, because you wouldn't go to the, you know, vegan restaurant and order a hot fudge sundae. I mean, you know, it's just...
Right. Well, what was the gentleman's name? Used to be a famous exercise guy. I can't remember his name. Just died recently. Was right on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, he often said that, you know, you wouldn't give your dog a cup of coffee, a cigarette, and a donut in the morning like most people have.
Yeah.
Jack LaLanne, that was
it. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but he would often say that, you know, and it's like, that would really give you pause to think, you know, he's right, because mm-hmm. that's what human beings do, but you wouldn't do that to your dog, your cat, or some other being that you loved, you know, but yet you're willing to do that to yourself. So maybe instead of doing that, step back, eat healthier or do something that's healthier for you.
Well, I think, too, the biggest thing is don't get overwhelmed with all of the stuff. You know, just pick one small little thing that you can make a change with. You know, if it's, even if you're trying to eat healthier and you can just eliminate pop or soda out of your diet, that is such a huge thing. And you'll notice in a very short amount of time, you feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But you still kind of, you know, like the society is so geared to offer us pop. You know, any place that you go into a restaurant, if you don't order pop, they're kind of like, oh, didn't you want anything to drink? You know, it's like, yeah, I was good with this water here. That's
mm-hmm.
great, you know?
Right.
And I've noticed a lot of times when I would go to order breakfast, if I didn't order meat with the breakfast, they look at you like you're kind of strange, you know? And it's funny, too. It's even kind of a gender thing. Like, my husband and I can go and order breakfast, and a lot of times they won't ask me if I want meat. But if he doesn't order meat, they look at him like, dude.
Yeah. Are you normal?
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, there again, too, I think it's something you mentioned, you know, It's a lot easier to make changes if it's something that you can incorporate into daily life. Sometimes if it's too radical right away, it's not something you'll keep up over, you know, a certain time frame, you know, like years down the road. I think if it is something that you can incorporate to your lifestyle that is not overly taxing, it's something you can keep up. And like you said, just cut out the pop or, you know, cut out the chocolate or whatever it might be. Just simple changes. But if it's something that you can live with, you'd be amazed at what might happen to your body and your health.
Yep. And I think another thing that's really important, if you can incorporate journaling into it, and a lot of people are not into writing. I would say most guys I know probably don't do a lot of journaling, but it can be a really good tool to just kind of express your feelings, and you'll realize after you've written, you know, just write your thoughts on that day. Like, okay, well, today I really wanted a pop, but I didn't have one, and I'm really glad that I didn't. And then the next day it didn't even bother me, you know, and then further along. Then if you go back and read some of those earlier journals, you find, oh, I was struggling with pop. Oh, my gosh, I've been off that for a year. You know, it doesn't even bother me now. And so you can kind of see your progress. And I think that's something that makes you feel better.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this show is Metaphysically Speaking.
This is our Radiothon 2013. We'll get back to part three of Metaphysically Speaking in just a moment. And we're having great fun in the studio taking your pledges here. 313-845-9676. Our once-a-year, one-week-only pledge drive on the air. We need to ask you to consider a generous pledge of support for your favorite radio station, unlike any other in Detroit or maybe anywhere in the world. We do alternative music that's equal to or better than what's already out there, and music styles that no other station in Detroit is playing. Coming up in the next hour, every Tuesday from 2 to 4, our Best of Broadway show. With Joe, and he's in the studio now, and that's so special because who else features that kind of music? Someone was saying the other day that because they listen to a lot of other Detroit radio that I don't. Why should I? I'm the station advisor here. I like this station. But they say there isn't a big band show anywhere else in Detroit at all. And Joe actually comes back on Friday too. He's a great volunteer, and he does Friday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon with a big band and a little bit of Broadway too, and easy listening, and it's just great. So here we are. Go to the website whfr.fm, that's the address, and make a generous pledge. Click on the Radiothon 2013 banner. You can see the pledge items that we have as your incentive if you need them at each level, and you can take and give us your Visa, MasterCard, or Discover card over that website, very secure, and do it that way. Or call us in the studio, 313-845-9676, option 1, 313-845-9676, option 1. Even right now, and I can take the pledge, Joe and Tammy are going to give us some reasons to pledge right now, too, but I can answer the phone. Go ahead, Joe. John, yes. Joe is behind me. John's over here. Yes.
It's attention, WHFR alumni and HFCC alumni. Be true to your school. Support musical alternatives on the air from your alma mater. No other community college in this area has such an extensive telecommunication curriculum or such well-developed facilities. But WHFR could never have happened without dedicated students dreaming, planning, building, and operating it. From a campus public address system in 1962, it has become a 24 hours a day, over-the-air broadcast station, as well as an internet webcasting service. Something to be proud of. Something you can still be a part of. Call 313-845-9676 or 1-800-585-HFCC, extension 9676.
And we have two promotional events coming up. The first one is up at the Fine Arts Building, and WHFR is going to be selling for $1 different CDs and other types of merchandise, and that will be from 10:30 to 2:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 18th. And then the second one, we will have a donation and promotion table on Saturday, April 20th. From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Green Brain Comics and Stormy Records store on Michigan Avenue. It's a block east of Schaefer, and we'll be selling promotional items to help with what we're doing here with raising donations.
Just want to mention is that that event coming up Thursday, 2 days from now, unless you're listening to the podcast, and it, maybe you missed it already, but on Thursday, the 18th, that's in the Fine Arts Center here at Henry Ford Community College main campus. If you're on the campus or you want to swing on by, usually a lot of parking in the student lots, the Fine Arts Center is towards the so-called back of the campus, the west side of the campus, and there you see the signs for Fine Arts Center, and we'll be in the main lobby from 10:30 to about 2:30, selling our logo items. We'll take cash donations, and maybe you want to get some of the things that we have had that have our logo on them that we don't really have in quantity, but we've got a few left that are really special. I think we still got our WHFR umbrella. That's always helpful this Michigan springtime, and other things like that. So, as Tammy said too, we'll also be at Green Brain and Stormy Records, Green Brain Comics and Stormy Records. They're in the same building on Michigan Avenue, east of Schaefer in Dearborn, this Saturday. And the hours for that was 10 to 3?
Yes, 10 to 3.
Okay. And you can come there and say hello and give us a pledge there too. We've got to finish up the hour, Tuesday Forum, Metaphysically Speaking, with that interview with Marianne Demo and the host, Mike Holloway. Please go to our website, whfr.fm, to give us a Radiothon 2013 pledge right now, or call us right here in the studio, 313-845-9676, option 1.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Mary Ann Demo. She is the publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine for Wayne County. And we were talking about journaling. Is that something you do every day?
Well, it's kind of one of those things. I love to journal, and I'll do it for a spurt of time. And then somehow I'll get off of that path, and then next time I'm kind of pent up with emotions, I'm like, you know, I should journal again. And then I write 12 pages, you know, and then it's like, okay, I'm good for a while. Mm-hmm. But I actually get annoyed with myself because I can't write as fast as what I'm thinking, and I can type pretty fast, so usually my journaling will end up online, mm-hmm. and I'll just start flying over the keyboard and not care about the underlines or the mistakes or anything and just get all that emotion out of there.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like a stream of consciousness type thing.
I mean,
you just
totally
gotta get it out of there.
Well, sometimes too, you know, I'll come away from an event or something and I've got all this energy after the event, and I have all these ideas that have been generated from different people that I met, or, you know, something I want to put together, or an article that I want to do. And so I have found that it's really a good time to take and capture that information right then. Mm-hmm. Because then if I can get it out, then I can actually sleep, you know, because
right.
otherwise I'll try to go to sleep. I'll be exhausted, but then I can't really sleep because I'm thinking about, oh, I've got to call so-and-so and I got to do this and I got to do that. So I would say my modified version of journaling is kind of like an online, you know, like a on the keyboard type of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you mentioned it, and I think for most guys anyway, it's something, you know, they might think it's a little too girly or whatever, but you recommend that for anybody and everybody, correct?
Yeah, and actually I was talking to a guy that is going to be writing an article coming up pretty soon, and he was even talking about it as a way of dealing with grief. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, sometimes men aren't as encouraged to express emotions, you know, or they're so conditioned not to that they just can't. And I think that if you had kind of a private journal, even if you just do it by typing, you know, or writing, that's a good way to kind of deal with some of that stuff. And he's put together kind of a whole plan of how to do it and some ideas and that type of thing. But I thought that's a really powerful thing because you're dealing with an awful lot of emotions when you're dealing with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a, you know, there's a whole cycle that you kind of go through. And so if you can start to recognize where you're at in the cycle, at least you know, maybe you're getting through this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think that if you have, you know, a certain type of anger towards someone, that it would help to actually write it out. Maybe you can't confront that person, you're afraid to or whatever, but at least you can release some of the emotion through writing.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, I think that might help. Or again, sometimes somebody's passed on and maybe you still have resentment or anger towards that person. You can't tell them. So mm-hmm. perhaps it's better to sit down, write it out so that you can get it out. And like you were saying earlier, once you get it out, sometimes you feel better.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, too, it helps you sort of sort out your feelings, because you can be feeling angry about something and not really realize what it is exactly. But by taking the time to write it and sort it out, it kind of helps you understand a little bit more what you're dealing with. And then maybe you can know some new steps based on what you figured out. You know, maybe maybe I really wasn't angry at that person. Maybe it was more the situation, you know. Or maybe that person annoyed me because they actually reminded me of something stupid that I've done.
Right,
and that
right.
kind of brought it to their, you know, my attention. And it's like, okay, they annoy me because I don't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I also think that sometimes when you look back, you realize that maybe it really wasn't so much that person. Maybe it was you. Maybe you were afraid to take a chance. Maybe it was easy to blame that other person for your lack of success, or, you know, whatever it might have been, as opposed to taking responsibility for your own actions or inactions so that you're not happy at the present time in your life.
Yep, exactly.
So that does happen. So do you have any restless nights where you really just can't sleep because you're so concerned about the magazine at all?
Well, I try not to, because honestly, I pretty much work right up to when I go to sleep. And so whatever I'm working on last before I fall asleep is kind of what I dream about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice if I can kind of just take a little bit of cushion time in between getting off the computer and just having like a half an hour to just kind of wind myself down. And if I can do that, then I'll sleep much more peacefully.
Because
the moment I wake up, I'm right back on it. So
right.
it's like, you know, I need that little bit of sleep in there.
Right. How many hours a day do you work usually?
Gosh. There's, what, 24 in the total
Last time I checked, yeah. There's never enough hours, right?
I would say probably 12 to 16 hours.
Wow. But it doesn't feel like work, does it?
Totally doesn't. That's the whole thing, you know. It's like people say, oh, my gosh, all you ever do is work. And it's like, yeah, but when you love what you're doing, it doesn't
right.
feel like that.
Right. Well, it's the old proverb that if you find a job you love, you'll never work another day in your life.
Yep. I totally believe that. And you don't really get that until you have found the thing that you love.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you know it when you find it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because you just realize, dang, I worked 16 hours. I should be hating this, but I'm not.
Right. Well, like you said, too, I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you're energized. You feel like getting up out of bed. Whereas if you go to a job where it's just, you know, you're earning some money to, again, pay the rent or whatever it might be, you're lying there thinking, gee, I don't want to get up, or, oh, I got to go to work, this, that, and the other. It's a whole different perspective when you can just jump out of bed and say, you know, wow, this is great. I can't wait to get back to work.
Yeah. And, too, I think it helps when you've got other people that are counting on you, and you know it's very personal. You know, it's like if you're making widgets at a factory, maybe nobody really cares if you got all your widgets done that day. But when you've got people counting on you, that makes a big difference. And I'm amazed, you know, even the people that I work with that are independent contractors, I mean, some of them, they're counting on that money. And, you know, if they're delivering magazines or they're writing or they're helping with the layout or they're doing any of those components, they have some kind of revenue that's coming from the magazine each month. And it's like, you realize, okay, I'm part of the economy now.
Right.
I'm going to do this.
Right. Well, that's a good thing, right? I mean, that gives you incentive.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, there again, too, I mean, just the fact that, you know, you're able to do what it is you want to, it's great, but how long did it take you to realize that? I'm sure that when you first started the magazine, you didn't necessarily feel like that. You probably had to put some time into it before you started to think that, wow, I really have found my niche and this is what I should be doing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it kind of goes back to figuring out what you're good at and what components you're good at. At the beginning, you're so overwhelmed that you don't really know. You know, you want to make the magazine happen each month, and so you just get in the mode of making it happen. And then when you get to breathe enough where you can say, okay, I need to fine-tune this a little bit, and it kind of goes back to, you know, in business, it's sort of like back in school. Like, you've got to figure out some way that you can kind of give yourself a report card, you know, an honest one, where you can look at things and say, okay, well, I might have done better if I could have taken care of this, or if I followed up on that, or if I didn't let this ball drop, or whatever thing that you did or didn't do. It's kind of like in the corporate world where they give you an evaluation and they ask you to evaluate yourself first, and you're kind of like, should I be really honest, or
right.
should I just say how awesome I am, you know? And it's like, okay, when you're evaluating yourself and it's for yourself, you can't help but be honest, you know? And so I think building some kind of a system in there like that is helpful for you to be able to move forward and build on your strengths and outsource your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you or the magazine, how could they do so?
Well, probably the best thing is to go to our website. We post the magazine in its entirety on the website every month, and I also have all of the past issues, too. And our website is naturalawakeningsdetroit.com, and so that would probably be a good starting point. Also on our Facebook page, I post the magazine in its entirety, hard to believe, right there on Facebook. You know, you just click a little button and there's the whole magazine. So those are two really good spots. And also, you know, feel free to give me a call. People are blown away sometimes just when you answer the phone. I've had people say, I can't believe you called me back. Thank you so much for calling me back.
Right.
I mean, we've moved away from being a very personal world, you know?
Yes, it's all machines and recordings now.
But you can totally call me, and my number is 586-943-5785. And call me, and I'm definitely happy to talk with you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also have a pet magazine, too, correct?
Yeah, unfortunately, our pet magazine ended with the last issue.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We were trying. We were really hoping. I was partnering with Jerry Neal with the Oakland Macomb, and it's just too narrow of a niche. And so we did run it for a couple years, and we just now decided this past month that that's going to be the end. And so we're going to go back to what we have in the magazine itself, which is a natural pet section.
And include that.
And probably beef it up a little bit just because, you know, we've got all of these new connections with the pet magazine.
Right.
But it's just, you know, maybe in the future it might be something that we look at again. But right now it's a pretty tough economy to try to start something new like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, are there any events that you care to mention?
Yeah, actually, coming up this month, you know, in honor of Earth Day is the Michigan Earth Day Fest that takes place out in Rochester on April 26th through the 28th. And it goes Friday 4 to 8, Saturday 10 to 8, and Sunday 10 to 4. The website is miedf.org. That's a really good one coming up. And then also, if you're thinking about making a little tiny step in the healthy direction and you want to learn more about, maybe you're not going to go all out vegetarian, but you just want to add a few more vegetables, you know, or maybe have a meatless Monday or something crazy like that, you might check out the Veg Fest, which is sponsored by Veg Michigan, and that's on April 21st. You can have just an action-packed, healthy weekend, you know, out of all those different things. And it's out at the Showplace, the Suburban Collection Showplace, on April 21st, 11 to 5. And the website is vegfest.com. And so you can check that out. It's really interesting to see some of the, like, John Sally and some of the people that you would never think.
Right. Athletes, right. You think, well, they got to be meat eaters if they're athletes or whatever.
Yeah. And these, I mean, there's a lot of vendors out there, but also there's a lot of good talks, you know, that you can go to and listen to pretty well-known celebrities talking about things. And you can get some of your questions answered, you know, and really learn new things. I'm positive you would pick up at least a couple new things out of there.
Right, and again, this might be one or two tips that you can incorporate on a daily basis that might really help improve your life.
Yep, exactly. And it's really exciting to see, like, this Veg Fest moved from Ferndale High School.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be at the show place now.
Right.
And that's exciting. I mean, people are into this stuff. So that's good to see, I think.
Yeah. Now, are you a vegan?
No.
No? Okay.
I like to say I'm a vegetarian with vegan tendencies. How's that?
Okay. Whatever works, you know, if that's good for you.
But I am very aware of, you know, some of the things that happen with chicken and beef. And, you know, boy, if you get into the factory farming and learn more about it, I don't know who couldn't, you know, phase
out. Okay. I don't want to go there because I still eat the cheeseburgers and, the, you know, the Coney dogs and everything else. So, I mean, my diet is not always the best. But, again, like you said, though, if you just learn one or two things that might help improve your health, your eating habits, whatever it might be, something that you can incorporate, it's all to the good.
Yep. Just go crazy and discover new vegetables.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty radical thinking, but I'd try not to eat too healthy because I'm always afraid my body's going to go into shock if it gets, you know, too healthy.
That could
you know,
be.
It's going to want to know where the grease and the sugar and all that other bad stuff for you is.
I don't know. I think it might be a little happy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe in the long run. But Marianne, thank you very much for being a guest on Metaphysically Speaking. I appreciate it. Really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you very much.
You're absolutely welcome. Glad to be here.
Well, just want to thank my guest for this month, Marianne Demo, for being on the show. Very enlightening. I really enjoyed the conversation. And again, I really want to thank her and the magazine Natural Awakenings for helping to promote our festival, the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. That was very gracious of her. She just called me out of the blue. I had submitted the event for the event section of the magazine, and the next thing I know, I'm talking to Marianne, and she's offering to help us, and that was really fantastic of her, so I do appreciate it. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for helping me out on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to come back next month. We'll be on the 21st of May, so join us then. And right now, I want to take a little time out to thank everybody that helped out for the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. It was our fifth annual fair, and that was held last month on March 23rd. And it turned into a huge success, and we are very, very happy that we were able to raise some much-needed cash for this radio station. That's always a good thing. In addition, I want to thank everyone who attended the fair. I would also like to thank our vendors, readers, and body workers who helped to make it a great event, our musicians and donors, our speakers, Carol Lynn Hovsepian, for Sandra Kinnebrew, Darlene Denning, and Tiffany Anton for speaking at our event. That was very gracious of them to offer to do that. I also want to thank the management and staff of WHFR for all of their help. Also our media partners, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, and Natural Awakenings for helping out. They provide a great service for us. And again, so many people give to this event that we couldn't do it without their help. So we do appreciate all the help we get. And finally, I would like to thank Lynn Grunst, who helps organize this event with me, for all of her fantastic work. She really does a tremendous job during this event. So thank you very much, Lynn. And once again, the festival was a great success and a lot of fun. Be sure to mark your calendars for Saturday, March 22nd. That's right, we've got it planned out already. That's March 22nd, 2014, for our next Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. So I hope you can join us then. With that being said, I just want to say thank you for listening and have a great day.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Best of Broadway and Radiothon 2013, the week once a year when we ask your pledges for support for WHFR. We're going to start off today's program with an album called The Sullivan Years, The Best of the Sullivan Years, and these were taken from the old Ed Sullivan show when Broadway shows were in their prime. Ed would have the actors and singers as guests on his show, and they'd usually perform a number or two from their play. So we're going to start off with the pajama game and Hey There, but first we'll now listen to that with Ed Sullivan's. And this is the station making waves, WHFR.FM, 89.3 on your FM dial. And we're now going to listen to John Raitt with Hey There.